text for our message this morning is in Matthew chapter 12. Beginning in verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. There are many prayers recorded in the Bible. Perhaps the greatest is in John chapter 17. That's the prayer of Jesus when he was in the upper room with his disciples before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was betrayed, arrested, tried, convicted, and crucified. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, there's a great prayer recorded that Solomon prayed at the dedication of the beautiful temple that he had built under the direction of God. A prayer that I like is the short but effective prayer of Simon Peter that he prayed after he had climbed out of the boat to walk on water to go to Jesus. That's when he took his eyes off the Lord and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. I like that one. It's short and it's powerful and it's sweet and it's effective, because that's what Jesus did. One of the most unusual prayers under the circumstances was the prayer of Jonah from the belly of the whale. Jonah chapter 2. The wonderful thing is that God answered that prayer even when he realized where it was coming from. God answers some prayers immediately, like he did Simon Peter when he said, Lord, save me. He answered it immediately. And here, a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we were studying about Jeremiah's prayer that he prayed in chapter 42 and verse 7. And it was 10 days before the Lord answered that prayer. Now, God is not consistent. If he'd waited 10 days when Peter was sinking, it would have been too late. Here, God answers Jonah's prayer. He heard and he answered it. Now, I read this and I want you to look at it too. I don't know if Jonah waited 3 days before he prayed, or if it took God 3 days to answer. Figure it out here. it says in the last part of chapter 1, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And then the next word is then. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. So, it seems like the delay might have been on Jonah's part. He waited 3 days to pray. You know, that, who knows? That was Jonah. Jonah, that man to whom the word of the Lord came, he was a special guy. I don't know if he had any prior experience as a prophet or not. But the one thing about it, God chose him, God selected him to be his messenger. And he gave him a command to, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and cry out against the wickedness of that city. Its sins have come up before me, and I want you to go over there and tell them, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The Assyrians were the hated enemies of Israel. Jonah's people. Now, Jonah disobeyed, but I don't think it was fear of the Assyrians, fear of the job that God had given him to do, that caused him to disobey God. I think that Jonah didn't want to go because he didn't like those people, and he didn't care if God wiped him off the face of the earth or not. I mean, he just as soon see God destroy all of them. But whatever his reason, he chose to disobey God and refuse to do God's bidding. Now, you've heard a lot of sermons about Jonah, I'm sure, and I'm not going to bring out much new here, but I just want to remind you of a few things. One of them is this. God does not like to be told no. He doesn't. That's one of the first things our little kids learn, first words they learn. It's so easy to say to their parents, no. God doesn't like to be told no. Do you get the impression here that God thinks that just because he made us and he sustains us, he gives us breath, gives us life, and he keeps us alive, and we belong to him, and all that, that he can just up and tell us to do something and expect us to do it? As though we have no option. Apparently, no one told him about human rights. When he says jump, we are to say how high? Doesn't God know that we have a sinful, rebellious nature? And the thing created says to the Creator, you can't tell me what to do. That was Jonah. You and I would never do that. Of course not. He sought to flee from the presence of God. Where are you going to go to get away from God? He was saying, I don't want to be in God's presence. I'll go somewhere where God is not there. He won't know where I am, and I'll be safe from him, and I can do as I please without his interference in my life. I'll get on a ship and I'll sail to England. Yeah, that's what they tell us Tarshish is. They said that's where he was headed, on that ship. And I checked that out, and most people seem to think that's England. Get over there, you know, God's not in England, I'll get away from it. I'll escape his presence. Well, what happened to Jonah was no accident. Let me tell you something. Storms, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, volcanoes, droughts, floods, the eruption of oil well in the Gulf of Mexico. There are no accidents with God. Let me tell you something. Al Gore can organize his climate control commission, and Congress can finance it with billions of dollars of taxpayers' money, but God is still in charge. And if God wants it to rain, it's going to rain. If he wants to shake this earth, he'll send an earthquake. On this occasion, God sent out a great wind that stirred up the sea. And the ship that Jonah was on was in danger of going down to a watery grave. The sailors were afraid. They prayed to their gods. And they put feet to their prayers. They went out and threw the cargo that they were hauling over the side to lighten the ship. Meanwhile, Jonah is sleeping peacefully down below. He doesn't even know what's going on. The ship is rocking, but my, it's just like being in a cradle, you know. Oh, this feels so nice. He's laying in there sleeping. Well, the captain found out that Jonah was not there, and he went down to wake him up. And he commanded him to pray. And then they did a very interesting thing. They cast lots to find out whose cause it was that this storm was coming. Somebody sinned. And now then, everybody's life is in jeopardy because of one person's disobedience. That happens in the Bible, you know. There's more than one occasion. They knew that judgment comes upon sin. They had spiritual discernment. So they cast lots. I don't know what casting lots is. If I did, I'd tell you. Whether they drew straws or rolled dice or drew cards, I don't know how they cast lots, but they found out that it was Jonah, and when all eyes were fastened on him, Jonah admitted his transgression. He said, "Fellas, it's my fault." So now we know what caused it. And the problem now is, what are we going to do about it? Jonah had a suggestion. Throw me overboard and the storm will cease. Throw me overboard and the storm will cease. Jonah, don't you know that if they throw you overboard, you're going to drown out there? That's pretty drastic. And those sailors were reluctant to do that. They didn't want to sacrifice a human life, but there seemed to be no alternative. So they took him up and threw him overboard. And as they did, they prayed, "Lord, forgive us." And immediately the sea became calm. Now out of this calamity, God was glorified, and there were some souls saved, because the Bible says that these guys who had been praying to their God didn't do any good. Now then they called on the Lord. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved," so maybe they were saved. We know that their lives were saved there anyway. Alright, so now then we've got a calm sea. But what about Jonah? Jonah probably thought, "Well, if they throw me overboard, I'll just drown, and that'll be the end of it for me. It'll all be over." It can't get any worse, and at least I'll be out of my misery. So I'll just die. But get this, it did get worse. Sometimes just dying isn't the easy way out. There are a lot of people today that feel like they're having a hard time here. And they try to end it all by shooting themselves or taking pills or something like that to take their own life. "I'm going to end it all." That's what you think. You're starting a bigger mess than you ever thought you could get into. After death, the judgment. And if you aren't saved, after death is hell. Luke chapter 16. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He didn't just lay down and die peacefully and it's all over. No way. Now God had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Here he is, still alive, in the belly of that great fish. He says seaweeds were wrapped around his head. He's still alive. It's not a pleasant place. In verse 2, he called it the belly of hell. That fish swam all the way down to the bottoms of the mountains with him, it says. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. God can hear prayers from just about anywhere. Even though his soul was overwhelmed by the circumstances, Jonah remembered the Lord. And in his prayer, I like this, in his prayer he said, "I am cast out of thy sight." Jonah, why are you here? "I'm trying to get away from the presence of the Lord, and I've succeeded. I'm now out of his sight." He'd reached the place where he wanted to be. But when he got to the place where he wanted to be, he didn't like it after he got there. So he knew that God was behind this, because he says to him in his prayer, he says, "Thou cast me into the deep. And the thou there is you. And the you that he's talking about is God. God has cast him into the deep. Well, he's trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. He finally succeeded somewhat, but he found out that he didn't like being away from God. Now, I've read this prayer through carefully, and I don't find any place in here where he cried out like Peter did, Lord, save me. He didn't even pray for deliverance out of the whale's belly. I think I would have said, Lord, save me. But he didn't wallow in self-pity. He didn't whimper and complain. Even though he was isolated and alone with his conscience, he didn't say, why did this happen to me? He said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That's about all he could do, was talk. I will pay that which I have vowed. Now, Jonah, in this situation, could clearly see the hand of the Lord in everything that was happening to him. A lot of people have still got their blinders on. Why did this have to happen to me? God is bringing it to pass. Listen, our hands, our lives are in His hands. And there is not an event that happens in your life or mine, but what God allows it to happen, and He has a reason for it happening. You'd best go with the flow. Let God have His way. You won't understand it. I won't understand it. But God knows, and He's going to work these things out in His own way, according to His own purpose. Jonah said, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now he's down here in the bottom of the mountains in the whale's belly, and he doesn't know up from down, much less northeast, west, and south. I will look again. By the way, that word again, apparently he'd done it before. That's what again means, isn't it? A kind of a repeat. Toward thy holy temple. Now, why did he want to look toward the holy temple? The temple is way off over yonder in Jerusalem. God had said to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3, concerning the temple, he said, God said, I have hallowed this house. That means God had made it sacred and holy. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. God's name is His power. And mine eyes are God's wisdom. And mine heart, the heart is His love, His compassion, shall be there perpetually. Now that promise that God made to Solomon caused Solomon to pray after the temple was built and dedicated in 2 Chronicles 6:20. He says that thine eyes, he's praying to God, that thine eyes, God's eyes, may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. When the Muslims kneel down to pray, they always pray toward Mecca, I understand. When the Jews prayed, they prayed toward Jerusalem and the temple. Read about Daniel. The decree went out Nobody can pray in the whole kingdom. We're shutting down prayer lines. Daniel went up to his room. Threw his window open wide and prayed toward Jerusalem, toward the temple. Got him in trouble. He broke the law. He got thrown into the lion's den for it, but he prayed. In spite of the fact that the government had said, thou shalt not pray. Now, Jonah's prayer was not a formal ritual prayer that he had memorized. There in that whale's belly, after 3 days and three nights, he was not overly concerned about his choice of words or the sentence structure of his prayer. He just simply poured out his soul to God. He admitted the sovereignty and the majesty of God. He confessed his sin of disobedience. He didn't blame his environment. He didn't blame the sailors who'd thrown him overboard. All in all, I think he made a very humble supplication to God. And then verse 10 says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I like that. Remember Saturday a week ago in the Union Tribune, there was a big picture there of that, what was it, 40-foot whale, gray whale, that had beached itself for the second time up in Everett, Washington. I read about that. Later on, another issue came out. After they got it out in the water, it came back a third time. I don't know whatever happened to that whale, whether it died or whether they were able to shoo it away from the shore. But anyway, I looked at that. Guess what I thought about when I saw that 40-foot whale laying there on that beach, huh? I thought about Jonah. God speaks to whales. And whales do what God says. He made them too, you know. Go back over to Genesis and tell you God made the great whales. God is a God who gives second chances and thirds and fourths. You would have thought that after this that God wouldn't have anything to do with Jonah because he was so rebellious and so disobedient. Hey, there's 1,000 people that he could go out there and probably somebody would even volunteer to go to Nineveh. He wouldn't even have to compel them to go. But once God sets his sights on somebody, tag, you're it. God, I don't want to preach. Call somebody else. God, I don't want to teach. Call somebody else. God, I don't want to be a missionary. Call somebody else. When God gets on your trail, he'll track you down. Wherever you go, you can't get away from him. Can't get away from him. And he didn't give up on Jonah. He called him again. And this second time, he went. Now listen. He still was not in agreement with what God wanted him to do. He still was not in love with those Assyrians that lived at Nineveh. He still didn't like them. In fact, after he went and told them, you read on through the book, you'll find out that he's hoping that God, that they wouldn't repent. And he had a sideshow. He got up here on top of a hill overlooking the town. He said, man, this is going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And I've got to read ringside seat right up here on top. So he had to wait 40 days. 36, 37, 38, 39. Boy, I'll bet that 40th day he got up there and he was really excited. But you know what? The judgment did not come. Why? Because they had repented at the preaching of Jonah. And then to think that later on, our Lord Jesus Christ would use this experience to teach us about His death and His burial and His resurrection. And when that dead body of Jesus was placed under in Joseph's new tomb and that stone was rolled over the door, it was like the old whale closing its mouth on Jonah. Jesus went into death. And after 3 days and three nights, he came out of the grave. He is not here. He is risen. And he's still risen. That's a sign. Jonah was a sign that Jesus would die on the cross for our sins. He would be buried. He would be raised again for our justification. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. We thank you for each person here. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the lessons that we've learned today from the book of Jonah. How precious it is to know these things and to get to know you a whole lot better and the way that you work. Now, Father, there may be some today in this congregation who have been spoken to by you. You've put a burden on their heart to do something, and they've been a little bit rebellious and a little disobedient. Oh, there's a great fish out there waiting for them somewhere. Help them to realize that today, that when you call us to do something, we owe you our lives. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we're to glorify you in our bodies, in our spirits, which are yours. If there's one here today that's never made that surrender to you, I pray that today will be the day when they will come. Let Jesus come into their hearts and let the Holy Spirit of God take control of their lives. Lead us, guide us, and direct us in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.